Good morning. I'd like to thank all of you for coming to help remember Bob. Bob was much loved and will be greatly missed, but Bob is with the Lord, and we don't grieve for him. We have a place in our hearts that is empty now on this earth, but one day we'll see him again. Join with me in prayer. Father, thank you so much for Bob. Thank you so much for his life. Thank you so much for the things that I learned about you from him. I'd ask that you'd watch over Diane, that you'd be with the family as we will all miss him. And yet, Father, he's with you. He's in a place where he has become the person that you've created him to be. He's free from all the things that plague us on this earth. He'll never face those things again. He is with you. He is able to see you and see you face to face and talk with you, something that none of us have ever done. I'm very grateful for him. I'd ask that you'd be with us and guide us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to read some verses from a wonderful, wonderful psalm, Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, you brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight is like a day that has just gone by, or a watch in the night. The length of our lives is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is of trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Actually, it's Orville that's sharing. I'm just standing with him.
In case I can't get through it.
Before I start, I'd like to say Bob was my brother. Robert Vernon Case was born June the 5th, 1942, in Vancouver, Washington, to Lyle and Ida Case. Shortly after, his family moved to a farm in Salmon Creek, a community just north of Vancouver. In the farmhouse, the wood stove in the kitchen was used for cooking as well as keeping the house warm. The family had a horse, a cow, pigs, and chickens. One picture in Bob's mind from that time was putting milk from their cows in shiny, clean milk cans at the end of their driveway for the local dairy to pick up. In 1945, the family moved into a home that Dad and Mom built. Bob's brother Roger was born that year. The home was built next to the property of the old farm they had previously lived on. Grandpa and Grandma Leaney moved into their old farmhouse, which had been fixed up. By then, it had indoor plumbing. Due to the fact that some members of the family were suffering from asthma, Bob's parents decided they needed to move to a drier climate. So to help the family, Bob and his sister, Karen, would lie in the road in an effort to get people to stop and buy their house. Of course, rarely did a car ever come down their little country road. In time, the house sold and the family moved to sunny California in 1949. They initially settled in Marysville, and about a year later, we moved to Linda. Bob went to Linda Elementary in the third and fourth grade, and Alicia Elementary for the first half of the fifth grade. One of Bob's most vivid memories was the 1950 flood, and that was in Linda by Marysville. Bob's grandpa had walked from their home to the levee to see how high the river was. He then ran back telling Bob's mother to get the kids and get in the car now, because the water was coming. By the time she got out of the driveway, the water was up to the running boards of their 1950 Oldsmobile. A levee that contained the Feather River had broke about 250 feet from their home. The water was up to the piano keys, and no one could move back into the house for 3.5 months. Bob's dad and a friend took a little boat to see the house before the water receded. When they were able to begin the cleanup, Bob's mother had breakfast dishes on the table from before the flood to clean. Since that time, she's never left a dish to wash on the table. Just before Christmas, during Bob's fifth grade year, the family moved back to Marysville. His brother Randy was born in 1952. Bob started as a freshman at Marysville Union High School in September 1955 and worked for his dad part-time at OK Auto Float, a tire store in Yuba City. However, floodwaters would affect the family once more in December of 1955. The week before Christmas in 1955, Northern and Central California had record high stream flows and was subjected to the greatest floods in the area's history. Bob's parents' tire store and service station business stayed open as long as possible, pumping gas to lines of cars trying to evacuate. Having seen enough flooding, the family decided to move to Antioch in 1959. With everything packed, they waited for Bob's brother-in-law, Orville, to get off work. Leaving about 9 o'clock in the evening, Bob would often tell how he was following Orville in his dad's pickup when he saw Orville running off the road into a ditch. I went to sleep. In an effort to try to prevent Orville from running off the road, he kept honking the horn on the pickup, but it wasn't loud enough to be heard. He said it was the most helpless feeling he'd ever had. Luckily, no one was hurt, not even 10-day-old Gary, who was in the back seat. He never even woke up. Bob graduated from Antioch High School in 1960 and worked for his dad part-time at OK Auto Float. Later, OK Auto Float would become one of the first big old tire stores. Bob and Diane met when Diane's parents moved to Antioch and built the Foster's Freeze next door to the OK Auto Float that the Cases had built. Since Bob loved ice cream, and he did, it was only natural that he would make lots of visits to the Foster's Freeze, and that was where the romance began. Bob and Diane dated for a couple of years, and after asking Diane to marry him, he headed off to the Army. After basic training at Fort Ord, he was stationed at the Redstone Arsenal in Alabama. There he learned how to build some of the very first guided missiles. Upon the completion of his training, he was stationed in Germany. Bob and Diane made their first home in Ansbach, Germany, where Bob worked on what looked like a normal army base. However, it was anything but normal. The Germans had previously used the base as a secret underground air base. complete with underground runways and plane storage. We Americans used it for our missiles. Bob is considered to be a Vietnam vet, although he was never allowed to actually be deployed to Vietnam due to his top secret classification. The Tomahawk missiles he built were used in the Vietnam War. Their first child, Gwendolyn K. Case, was born in Nuremberg, Germany on February 10, 1964. Diane and Gwen came home from the hospital on Valentine's Day. After Bob's tour of duty, they went home to Antioch, California, where Bob went to work at DuPont. After purchasing their first home on Lewis Drive in Antioch, they had their second child. Dale Vernon Case was born in Walnut Creek on March 26, 1967. While their children were still small, Bob took advantage of the GI Bill to learn the new trade of heating and air conditioning, all the while still working a full-time job at DuPont. After completing his HVAC training, he was then able to work two jobs so that Diane was able to be a stay-at-home mom and raise both the children. Now that the family planning was complete, it was time to go back to what he loved to do, building fast cars, old cars. Bob built many street rods and became a safety inspector for National Street Rod Association, while the family participated in lots of rod runs each summer. Eventually, Bob left DuPont and went back to work in the family business at Big O Tires in Antioch, and ultimately, he and his brother Roger purchased the business from their father, Lyle Case. Prior to moving to Alturas, where they built their dream ranch, Bob made arrangements with Roger to purchase his half the business so that they could focus completely on their new community of Alturas. A disability forced Bob to retire early, and at that point in their lives, Bob and Diane switched roles. Diane went to work full-time at the Modoc Medical Center, and Bob began taking care of all the work at home. He took care of everything from washing the clothes, cleaning the house, bringing in the firewood, feeding the animals, and making dinner each night. He did all of this with his customary level of excellence. In his spare time, he resumed his love of building hot rods. His first car was a 1950 Chevy. His last creation was a 1969 Chevy Nova that he and Diane took to Hot August Nights in Reno last year. Bob and Diane celebrated their 45th wedding anniversary on May 18th of this year in the home they built and loved here in Alturas. Diane says that Bob was the greatest husband anyone could ever ask for. Bob, in his daily role as husband, father, grandfather, brother in Christ, leader, and friend, will be deeply missed. Diane says that we look forward to our reunion in heaven.
When my dad says that Bob was a brother, I don't want to miss that point, that my dad and Bob, while dad's the brother-in-law, were brothers. And that's how he is with my Uncle Randy and my Uncle Rod. And I think that it's a real blessing in our family, that closeness. At this time, if someone would like to offer some appropriate comments about my Uncle Bob, we'd like to give you the floor and have that. Have you tell us a story, maybe? I did say appropriate. You notice that? I've done this before.
My name is Tom Marshall, and I'm Bob's brother-in-law, married to Diane's wife, Linda. I got to tell you, when I first met Bob, I didn't think too much of him. He was this duck-tailed hot rodder from Antioch who was... had eyes for my soon-to-be sister-in-law. And so, you know, with my wife's direction, I was put in charge of kind of looking out for her from that big old guy. Didn't take long for that guy to grow on me, and we did become brothers, like you said. I couldn't believe how many things he knew and could do. He loved to read, which I loved to do, and, I mean, he far outread me. I mean, you know, he's a two-year younger than me, little punk, you know. But he, when my wife suffered a massive stroke about 8 years ago, Bob and Diane, they were there in the blink of an eye. I couldn't believe they'd drop everything and come running like they did. And they visited us in Bakersfield at least four times a year since. I knew Bob knew the Lord from way back. His parents raised him that way. But then later on in life, he and Diane both, they really turned on for the Lord. And he became one of those fanatics, you know? I mean, he was really on fire for God. And so, like you, there's no doubt in my mind where he is. And he promised, I went fishing with him the first time I visited here. In fact, the only other time I visited here. And I don't think I caught anything. Dale beat us out on that. But I told Diane last night, I can't wait. I just believe in my heart that Bob and I'll fish again someday, and I know it doesn't say anything in the Bible about this, but I got a feeling that there's a guaranteed catch up there. So, thank you for coming.
One of my very first memories of Bob when I was dating Dale was that if you're in the Case family, or probably the Jones family, you know that Chevys rule. And Fords are a no-no. And I had gotten a Ford Mustang. I don't remember the year, but my mom and dad had bought it because they didn't know what was right. And for my graduation. And I remember when I would go visit them in Lodi, I'd have to park out on the street because it wasn't allowed in the driveway. Now, as we grew as a family, I'm pretty sure if I kept the Ford, I could have parked it in the driveway. But out of respect, I don't think I ever did. And I love Bob. My heart is empty. And I thank everybody here for coming and sharing this with us.
When I was in junior high, I painted used tires black. My Uncle Rod never thought I did a very good job because I didn't. I was just interested in the 10 cents per tire, and I'm sorry to confess that. But one thing I remember is that I would have to go through the alignment rack area. And for those of us who worked at the tire store, it was a dangerous area at times because my Uncle Bob, sometimes things didn't go right on the cars he was working on. And so I have to believe that I kind of attribute my ability as a triple jumper to the fact that my uncle would throw tools out from underneath the car, and you always knew if you had to walk by there that you had to be prepared to move. So it's the as a 12-year-old, I became quite athletic, I think, as a result of Uncle Bob.
I can only imagine what I will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe would you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. Only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Oh, in awe will you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees? Will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Hey, I can only imagine. worry, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or will you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? We'll be able to sing it all.
Bob was a blessing, is a blessing, because he's up there. I have no doubt of that. I think the time I first met him, he came in with a Bible case and ready for Sunday school. I'm not even sure we had Sunday school that morning, but Bob was ready. And when he came with Diane, you know, I could tell that they were ready to worship the Lord together. So it was evident to everyone who knew Bob that he loved the Lord, and he's up there. One of my favorite movies is Marlene and Me. I wasn't going to mention this, but we love the movie What About Bob? And you know, I've thought about that. This is Bob is kind of every man, a man who certainly was a sinner, as we all are. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, I could, you know, these were things I didn't know about Bob, that he had a temper, evidently. maybe that was B.C. I'm not sure exactly when he came to know the Lord. I didn't see it. He seemed very sweet. Now, his sister, maybe a little bit still. The one we know.
Bob appreciate that.
But I've been thinking about Psalm 90, the beautiful psalm written by Moses, what it can say to us at a time like this. It's an appointment that we must all keep, the appointment of death. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And it behooves us who are still living in this world to make our peace with God, as Bob did. I think that's what Bob would say to us if he were here this morning. I think really he is saying that to us. In this psalm, we are told about the eternity of God. And I think that's what we need to be reminded of, that this life is just really a prelude to eternity. The Bible tells us that God is eternal. Now, no one else is eternal. Now, we're immortal. We are created to be immortal, to live forever. But only God is eternal. You can look back as far in the past as you can until you can't see anymore, and God is there. You can look in the future, and God is still there. He changes not, the Bible says. But I remember a few years ago there was a kind of a very historic moment when you may remember I think it was called the Old Man of the Mountain in Vermont. That face fell. You may remember that. You know, I may have kind of a strange sense of humor, but I saw some humor in that. Because here was a kind of a monument that people looked to for generations. Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote about it in his book, The Old Stone Face. And yet, that's really a parable of this life here. We've seen it in the storms, certainly. The hurricanes and the Now the tremors from Wall Street and just the uncertainty of these times. I think this is why we need to be reminded of the eternity of God. The hymn writer Isaac Watts took these words and wrote them into a poetic form. And I'd like to read what he wrote in a hymn setting of this Psalm 90. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. 1,000 ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guard while life shall last and our eternal home. But these verses also tell us of the frailty of man. Return to dust, O sons of men, God says. And does that not put our lives in perspective? We are here but a short time. The Bible describes it as a handbreadth. And we who have reached the 50th or fifth or sixth decade or more, I'm the sixth decade, I think Bob was 66, I believe. You know, we understand how short life is. And I know, Diane, you looked back at the time that you and Bob were married, and it seems like but all too short time. And we all realize that. I think this is one of the reasons why God allows this, what seems such a great tragedy, come into our families and our lives. We may get angry. I was listening to one of my favorite preachers, Greg Laurie, who recently lost his son. And people would ask him in a traffic accident in the Los Angeles area. People, he said, would ask him, Greg, are you angry with God? And he said, no, I'm not angry with God. He said, I know that my son is with a loving Heavenly Father. And he's as happy now as he will be for all eternity because he is with his Heavenly Father. And so I think that is the perspective. But still there is this frailty of our human flesh. The poet Tennyson had this in mind, I believe, when he penned these words. Sunset and evening star and one clear call for me. And may there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea. But such a tide as moving seems asleep, too full for sound and foam. When that which drew from out the boundless deep turns again home. Twilight and evening bell, and after that the dark. And may there be no sadness of farewell when I embark. For though from out are born of time and place, the flood may bear me far, I hope to see my pilot face to face when I have crossed the bar. Tennyson spoke of that hope that Bob and all we who know the Lord Jesus Christ have, which hope, the Bible says, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. But these verses also in Psalm 90 tell us about the brevity of time. Teach us to number our days is a prayer that we ought to pray because our lives are over before we know it. And so we need to be prepared. Death is an appointment that we must all keep. Prepare to meet thy God is the message that we need to hear and to heed. The hymn writer wrote, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Would you bow with me in a moment of prayer? Our Father, may that be our prayer. Abide with me. Lord, we need you in this time of uncertainty, as always it has been in the human history. But it seems even more so today. Lord, we need to know that you are an unchangeable God and that you have provided us a means for salvation through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, I believe that Bob is safe in the arms of Jesus because I've heard his profession of faith in Jesus. And just the fact that he is really, I think, here in spirit with us. Certainly, he is one with the Holy Spirit, with our Lord Jesus Christ. And he would want us to know that, as the Bible says, there is no salvation apart from faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, neither is there salvation by any other name, no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, than the name of Jesus. And as your Bible also says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons, the daughters of God. Father, I pray that if there is anyone here who has not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that one would say to him, Jesus, I want what Bob had. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that if death should overtake me before I'm prepared, or before I know it, that I am prepared to meet my God, because I have also trusted Jesus as my Savior. I have confessed my sins. I know that I am a sinner. And I thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for my sins. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, a prayer like that. So, Lord, may that prayer be prayed many times, if there are many here this morning who have never prayed that prayer, or just one. Help that one to pray that prayer. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you all please stand, and we're going to sing the hymn, How Great Thou Art.
I hear the Lord.
all please be seated? And I'm going to ask the veterans to come and have their service.
On behalf of the two veterans group here in Alturas, the American Legion, Clifford Hutter Post 163, the American Veterans, known as AMVETS, MODOC Post 2003, I have two certificates to present to Diane on Bob's behalf. The first one is the American Legion Resolution. Whereas it has pleased Almighty God, the great commander, to summons to the immortal Legion our beloved comrade Robert L. Case. Whereas we humbly bow to the will of the divine prophet with ever cherish in our hearts the memory of distinguished service to our country and the outstanding contributions to the American Legion comradeship. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Clifford Hutter Post 163, the American Legion, does mourn the passing of our comrade Robert L. Case, and therefore be it further resolved that in our common grief, a copy of this resolution transferring comrade Robert L. Case to the post everlasting, the American Legion, be presented to the next of kin, signed a Commander Rod Conran and Adjutant Harley Brown. The next one is from the AMVETS. It's an immemorial. AMVETS, honor the memories of Robert L. Case. This certificate is awarded by a grateful organization in recognition of devoted selflessness dedications to the service of the AMVETS, our country, our state, and our community. Faithfully did they answer their country's call. Nobly did they serve. Though for them the bugle clarions will be steel and the battle flags unfold, yet we will who served with them forever remember their devotions to the ideals of America. Their dedication is to the cause of liberty and for their love for God and country. Given in the city of Laham, Maryland, this 20th day of September 2003, signed Arley Brown, Post Charter Commander, and the National Commander, Thomas L. So it's with a saddened heart that I present these two certificates to Diane.
He's my brother in so many ways. I love him. Right now, I present to you from the United States of America, the people and the armed forces of this United States of America, our flag, and I salute you and my brother.
Also, we have a copy of the charter for our post, when I post 2003, Alturas, California, the charter members, and so designated him as a deceased member, presented to you. You can do what you do.
Could we bow in a moment of prayer? Lord, do bless us. Do keep us. Do make your face to shine upon us. Be gracious to us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace through Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son and our only Lord and Savior. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.